the Tanya for the seventh day of Sivan, the second day of Chag HaShavuos, is at the beginning of Shara Yichud Ve'emuna, Perek Aleph, Shara Yichud Ve'emuna. It's on page 152, and the number at the bottom of the page is 288. Shar HaYichud Ve'emuna. Lohavin Ma'at Mez'eir, to understand a little bit, Mashikos of B'Zehar, what it says in the Zehar, the Shema Yisrael, Hu Yichudi Lo, that the Pasuk Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that is a higher level of oneness, Yichudi Ilo, the higher oneness, and the second Pasuk, Baruch Shem Kved Ma'chusei Lo'ilam Vo'ed, Hu Yichudi Tato. The Zehar says that the second pasuk Baruch Shem Kaved Machusei Leilam Vod is a lower level of Yichud, of oneness. So the Shara Yichud Ve'emuna is meant to explain so that we can understand a little bit what the meaning of this is. What does it mean that Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad is the higher level oneness and Baruch Shem is the lower level oneness? It's interesting that in the beginning of the first part of Tanya, Sefer Shel Beinanim, the Rebbe says that the purpose of Sefer Shel Beinanim is to explain Levaya Heitev, to explain well and clearly the meaning of the verse, it is close to you. So there he says that the intention is to explain it well, that it should be well understood. And here he says to understand just a little bit. Ma'at Mez'ed. In general, the oneness of God, the whole subject of the oneness of Achdus Hashem, of the oneness of the Eibishter, has to do with the seeming contradiction of creation versus oneness. How is it that God is one, that there is nothing besides God, if in fact there exists a world? When in fact there exists a world. So how is it that in spite of the creation of the world and the existence of the world, God is one? Perek Aleph. V'yadai tahayim v'ashivesa v'avavecho. You should know today and take to heart the pasuk in Chumash. Ki hava yehu ha'likim b'shamayim imal v'alaretz mitochas einet. That God is one. God is God, on the heavens above and on the earth below, there is none other. Tzarech lahavin, there's a pasuk in Chumash, and we need to understand the pasuk, because chital al daitecho, sheyesh elikim nishra b'mayim mitachas la'aretz. Would it then occur to anyone? Would it come to anyone's mind that there is a God soaking in the waters under the earth? That we have to be told, and in such strong words, as to take to heart, not just know, but take to heart that there isn't a God in the water under the earth. That the pasuk has to say that God, is the God in the heavens above and on earth below. So that even if somebody could think that there might be a God in the water under the earth, and he needs to be told that there isn't, that there's only one God, still the question is, even such a person, why does he have to be told to take to heart? He simply needs to be notified that there isn't. So obviously, there is a deeper meaning to this oneness of God that is difficult to understand and difficult to grasp, and therefore it's necessary to not only know it, but to take it to heart. Hine ksiv l'olam Hashem dvorcho nitzav v'shamayim. Pasuk says that the word of God stands forever in the heavens. U'pidish ha'Baal Shem Tov Zal, and the Baal Shem Tov explained, ki dvorcho she'amarto. What does it mean that the word of God stands in the heaven, the word with which God created the heaven? which was Yihi Raki Abate Hamayim, let there be a firmament, Teveseelu, so these words and these letters, the letters of those words, Hain Nitzov Veslaim Betecha Ki Hashamayim, stand forever in the heavens, Umelubashes Betech Kol Harikiyim La'ilam, and the words and the letters of God are clothed in those heavens forever, Lahachayesam, to give them life. Kidichsiv, as it says, Udvar Elikeinu Yokom La'ilam, Udvar of Chayim Ekayamim La'ad. So we see that God's word is forever. The fact that he said those words almost 6,000 years ago doesn't really matter, because God's word is forever. And then the Pasuk tells us that God's word, which lasts forever, remains always clothed within the heavens in order to give the heavens their existence. Now, the truth is that there is actually a Medrash that says the same thing. The Medrash also explains that the meaning of the verse, La'olam Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav Bashamayim, means that those words with which God created the heavens are always in the heavens. And yet the Alter Rebbe attributes it to the Baal Shem Tov, quotes it in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. So there are a number of explanations for this, but an interesting thing is that the Baal Shem Tov based an entire approach to Yiddishkeit and a whole insight into Achdus Hashem on this pasuk, which elaborates and takes the statement of the Medrash a lot further than is explained in the Medrash. So Pirush HaBaal Shem Tov means that the Baal Shem Tov explained it more further than the Medrash, but the Medrash does make the basic statement. Another interesting thing is that the statement, Yihi Rakia, let there be a firmament, took place on the second day of creation. And the second day, on Monday, Chai Elul, the Baal Shem Tov was born. So the Alter Rebbe wanted to mention the Baal Shem Tov in connection to his birthday, so that it will always be remembered that the Baal Shem Tov was born on a Monday. What does the Baal Shem Tov say? That these words with which God created the world have to always be in the heavens, creating the heavens, in order for the heavens to exist. So that we can't say that God created the world, and now that he created it, or once he created it, it then exists by itself. It carries on by itself. So the Pasuk tells us that can't be, but rather the word of God has to be always in the heavens to keep them in existence. The Alter Rebbe emphasizes that the words and the letters with which God created the heavens are clothed within the heavens. Betech kol harikim, v'hachayesam, to give them life. As we'll explain a little bit later on, what does it mean within the heavens, and what does it mean to give life to heavens? The heavens need to be given existence, but why? What does it mean to give them life? But let's continue on. Ki ilu hayu ha'esiyes mistalkes kereg chas v'sholim, because if these letters with which God created the heavens, if they would, God forbid, be removed from the heavens. And what does God forbid? Because if that would happen, then Torah and mitzvahs wouldn't, the kavana wouldn't be fulfilled. How could they be removed when we just finished saying that the word of God is forever? They wouldn't stop existing, the words of God, but they would return to their source. They would still exist, but they would no longer be inside the heavens. Then, hayukol hashamayim ayin v'efes mamash, then all the heavens would be non-existent and nothingness, literally. And it would be as if they weren't at all. They would be as non-existent as they were before God said, let there be a heaven. Why does it say this only about heaven? But everything in creation, the words with which God created all things, have to be in those things in order to give them existence. So on the one hand, we are told that the Pasuk says that the word of God is always in the heavens, because once you know that even the heavens have to be kept in existence constantly, and without the word of God they wouldn't exist, and the heavens are the highest, they represent the highest and the noblest and the most godlike part of creation, and even they can't exist. So certainly the lower creations, that which is below the heavens, certainly need to be constantly created and kept in existence. On the other hand, there could also be the argument in the reverse, as we'll soon see. But what the Alter Rebbe is saying so far is that without the letters creating the heavens, if the letters should be taken away, God forbid, then the heavens would go back to being nothing, literally just as it was before it was created. And here too we need further explanation. If we're saying that it's ayin ve'efes mamash, that the heavens would be nothing and non-existent, literally, which is pretty strong language. It would be nothingness, it would be non-existent, and it would be literally non-existent. What is the Alter Rebbe adding? How much more non-existent can a thing be when the Alter Rebbe adds, v'hoyu k'lo hoyu klal, it would be as if they never were, and just as it was before they were created. So we'll explain that also a little bit later on in Shari Yichud V'Emun. Chayin chol habriyim shebuchol ho'elamei sholyeinim v'tachteinim, and the same is true also of all the creations of the higher and the lower, v'afilu eretz halazu hagashmis, and even this physical world, the physical planet, u'b'chinas deimim mamish, and even the inorganic, the stones and the water and the earth of this world, which don't seem to be very dependent on any life-giving force, is ilu hayu mistalkes mimenu kerega chas v'sholem ha'esiyes me'asoda ma'imozeis, if, God forbid, the letters and the words of the ten utterances with which God created the world would be removed from them, shebohen nivras ha'oretz b'sheisis me'bereishis, those words with which God created the earth, as distinguished from the heaven, that they too would become nothingness. Then the earth also and the inorganic material, the stones, would go back to being nothing, literally as they were before the 6 days of creation. And this is what the Arizal writes, that even in the inorganic, in the stone and in the water and in the earth, that even in those things that don't seem to be alive at all, there exists within them a nefesh and a life. Which means, what is the life in the stone, in the water, in the earth? It is the letters of the ten utterances that is clothed within the stone, the water, and the earth, hamechayes umahaves es hademim, that gives life and existence to this inorganic material. And again, the Rebbe says to give life to the stone, which we need to understand, what is the life in the stone? Existence we understand, but what is the life? Lihiyes yesh ma'ayin ve'efes, shelifnei sheishis emebereishis, that the stone, in order for the stone to exist, the daimim should exist, and to be something out of nothing, out of this utter nothingness that existed before the 6 days of creation. So the letters and the words with which God created the world, both heaven and earth, need to be constantly clothed within the created being in order that the created being should receive life and existence from God. whereas without those letters constantly giving them life, they would return to absolute nothingness, and so much so, they would be so non-existent that it would be exactly as it was before they were created, as he'll explain later on in the next couple of days of the Chitas. In the Hayem Yem, for the second day of Shavuos, which is Zayin Sivan, the Rebbe writes concerning the Siyas Kapayim, concerning the Duchening. So the procedure is that when the Kayanim say Yivarechecha, you face forward. When the Kayanim say Hashem, you turn your head to the right, which is to the left of the Kayanim. And when the Kayanim say the Yishmerecha, then you face forward again. When the Kayanim say Yair, you turn your head to the left, which is to the right of the Kayanim. And so until the word Shalom, and then you face forward. Then you say that Rebbeinu Shel Olam only while the Kayanim are singing the wordless part of the melody, but when they're pronouncing the words of the bracha, you have to hear the word, you have to be listening. When the Kayanim sing the Nigun without the words, just prior to the words V'yosem, then you say Rebbeinu until Hatzadik. During the other wordless part of the Nigun, the introduction to L'cha, to the word L'cha in the bracha, then you say from the Im until Elisha. And likewise, before the word Shalom in the bracha, that the Kayan says, you say from U'chashem until L'teva. And as the Kayan finish pronouncing the last word Shalom, you say V'tishmereini U'sachatneini V'tistereini. Adibamorim said, after responding Amen, while face is still covered by the talus.